Hi, everyone, and welcome to For Whom the Cell Tolls. This is your host, Keenan, joined again by Scout Pomeranian. Say hi, Scout. Nope, still resting. She's doing well, though. I don't record as much. I wanted to address that. I'm still a professor at, assistant professor at Minnesota State University in Mankato, Minnesota. Very fun. Go Mavs. I still am doing my DLBCL, diffuse large B-cell lymphoma research, but again, we're a teaching place, so I do kind of have to target things. However, I have not lost my love for the field and how cool and exciting and amazing some of these steps can be. So one of the basis of today's episode is that I every year try to attend the American Society of Hematology annual meeting. It goes to San Diego, New Orleans, Orlando. It's one of those big ones, 20,000 people, scientists, industry, clinicians, the whole thing. I'm going to try and share some of those stories across some episodes because I know that I think that's helped me consolidate quite a bit. Regardless, even if I don't have the funds or the time sometimes anymore to do the big, you know, these big cool experiments, it does not mean I don't want to share it with the world and, you know, have everybody have that sort of like, oh my goodness moment that I still get when I go to meetings like this. So, cool thing here. I still do lymphomas as the background again. Since there's no surgery option, we rely on all kinds of stuff. We rely on chemos. We rely on antibodies as immunotherapies. We have to do something systemic, right? The big one, obviously, is that we can engineer patient T cells and re-release them to go kill the tumor in these patients. CAR T cells, chimeric antigen receptors. Awesome. We're still doing so good on this. Y'all have no idea how low the survival curve was 5 years ago, when I started this, and where it's at now for people that fail that first line of therapy and do CAR T. I mean, I think based on the Crump versus some of the Zuma trials, we're looking at a median survival of progression-free survival of 6 months, and now that is looking closer to like maybe at 5 years, you got 40% of people still around. It's awesome. Now, my goal in my research, though, is still to find factors that will predict that things do not go well for the patient. Thus, we can turn to alternative therapies and just basically learn more about the biology. Now, there's been a very cool shift in the field. I'm a genomics person. I was brought up seeing that, okay, these DNA alterations portend these pathways in the tumor cell. Thus, we can treat here. DNA is a very good picture, but it's incomplete. RNA as well. We can see what genes are on and off a little more dynamically, right? But I did read Song of the Cell by Siddhartha Mukhtari this summer, and he had a very good line in there basically saying, it was a pretty strong line for me as a genetics person, but it was basically like, okay, the age of the gene is not over, but the age of the cell is very much here. And in that same book, he talked about the first CAR T cells and how Dr. Carl June at Penn did the first trial when the first patient, and she's still alive today, but in the initial reaction, how hard the cytokines went and her immune system fought, he penned his resignation. CAR T was so powerful, and he thought that he had killed the patient, thought it was almost like a Challenger explosion moment. But it wasn't, and here we are. So what does it mean that the age of the cell is here? What I mean by that from my field is that we are still interested in DNA alterations, in RNA expression profiles, and what the tumors are doing. But like the last episode that I recorded, three letters, TME, tumor microenvironment. We are interested in the cells around the tumor and what heterogeneity exists in the tumor. And what I mean by that is how varied are the cousins inside that tumor. But we're really now interested in what proportion of macrophages are there? What proportion of CD8 killer cells are there? What about CD4 commander T cells? We're starting to use technology like single cell RNA-seq, really powerful stuff where you only send one cell at a time and it gets RNA-seqed. You get these beautiful images, basically PCAs for those who love stats, of cell groups based on their profiles. We're using these and other tools, other smaller tools like deconvolution, which lets me see which components are around, to say, guess who's actually going to fail CAR T? It's people with high levels of these immune cells and low levels of these immune cells. So I think, like we talked about last episode, it makes sense that a CAR T patient's not going to do well when they have very poor counts of CD8 killer cells, right? That's not good. That shows exhaustion. That shows that the environment and the cells around the tumor are getting rid of those T cells. It's not ideal. And it's something that we're still learning how to... That was another exciting one. We might do a whole episode on this. We're trying to modulate that. And that's sort of where drugs may become, you know, sort of have a comeback in this case. It's something that, you know, I want to explore a little further. This episode wanted, I wanted to deal one detail with one of those populations. So this mainly was inspired by one of the oral abstracts at ASH on December 10th, 2023. It was led by Dr. Ken Young. He's at a Duke. His lab does powerful genomics and predictions, sort of in the way I do it as like a baby, but he does it for real. Now, one of the cool things that he was looking at in his thing, which is paper 0429 at the ASH 2023 meeting, it's titled Tumor Infiltrating Lymphocytes Have Antitumor Prognostics. Okay, so we already know that different immune cell types, you know, like I said, macrophages, dendritic cells, different types of T cells, they matter for the patient. But there was a very special, very odd population that showed up. For the first time I had ever really heard of it, I guess it makes sense. So when you think of a B-cell tumor, your spleen and your lymph nodes are growing with these surviving and proliferating cells. The tumor has an advantage. It does mitosis more. It dies less than your normal B-cells, right? Now, most pretty bad tumors are, they have an overwhelming amount of these cells. And they are sort of terraforming the area, they're growing, they're doing their thing, like we've talked about. They're big bad. So the signature for B cells is one of these signatures we can read in single cell RNA-seq and in deconvolution. But single cell RNA-seq gave us a clear picture. And what Dr. Young's lab showed us was that there was a very odd population in the cells or in the tumors of people that were responding to CAR-T. Was a population of B cells that had not gone bad. I thought this was like one of the coolest things on the planet. It is a population of almost little hidden, very small population, like 10% or less, of like little resistance fighters. B cells that have not been corrupted by the cancer. They're normal, they're your good B cells. They're still in the germinal centers, still trying to do the right thing. And what do B cells do? They're part of the process that allows T cells to function. They're part of that partnership with CD4 command cells. Now, CD8 killer cells get all the press. They kill stuff. They kill tumor cells. Perfect. That's what CAR-Ts want. That's what the system needs to engage. But CD4 cells are the command generals. They're the ones saying, don't get exhausted. Keep going. Go over here. Use this receptor. Do this. Get more aggressive. Get less aggressive. This little resistance fighter population of these B cells is instrumental in not allowing the CD4 cells to stop the CD8 cell. Yeah, you want the CD4 cells to keep going and tell the CD8s to keep developing and go well. This little population of B cells fighting back against the tumor cousins that they have can do that. Thought it was amazing. That's always why I wanted, you know, it's so cool to see that. And it's really tough because the presentation said, it's like, these were a really hard population to find. We're lucky that we did single cell RNA-seq at a time and we saw this little pocket. They went on to detail. We can infer this with really deep DNA sequencing. What that means is taking a DNA sample and getting a ton of contigs or a ton of replicates of that sample of what DNA is there to basically phenotype the friendly ones and say, all right, this patient has a sizable friendly population of B cells. They are a good candidate. And that test could potentially say, you have an insubstantial or a no remaining little like good B cell population anymore. Now, this is still a very special sort of friendly little population. It does not mean that every person with a B cell tumor or most people have completely overwhelmed all of their B cells and they're all bad now. There's rarely anything in biology that's like, it's just this, it's just that. But that heterogeneity leading that there's this little pocket of B cells still doing the right stuff that promotes the CD4s, that helps the CD8s, was amazing. I thought that was so cool. Because we've been in the field, we've been running around microenvironments so much, and like the obvious ones are there with CD8s, like, you know, it's bad if they're gone, things like that. But I had always wondered seeing some of the signatures show up where it's like, hey, the people doing well actually had a slightly higher population of B cells sometimes. That's weird. That doesn't make sense, right? Those are the tumor cells. Not necessarily every time. So that was one of the first times that convo had ever, you know, that I had learned about that. It was really cool. I mean, we got a lot of stuff from this meeting that I was excited to share. And that's why I think I wanted to break this up. At first, I was going to do like a top five, you know, episode, but I feel like we couldn't have gone over some of the cool stuff like this. And specifically with these little B cells, I mean, some of the presentation even went in that was like, hey, we could image this. There's certain markers on these guys that aren't on the bad B cells. We can quantify this with pathology, which is cheap and easy, right? So super exciting stuff. So I hope that a sort of miniature episode was okay. I have lots of fun things to share from the meeting. I think the meeting this year really gave me the get up and go to make sure that the podcast is still sort of going around. It's always been fun for me, but like we all get pretty busy and such. So it happens to the best of us, I suppose. But let me see here. I got some more details in my notes, but honestly, yeah. So upcoming stuff, some of the other cool top fives type of stuff I learned at ASH. Like I said earlier, number two that I want to do an episode on coming up. People are learning how to train these microenvironment cells. They're learning how to defang macrophages, who are basically villains in this case, if they are that immunosuppressive type. We are learning how to prime and not let natural killer cells exhaust. We are learning how to promote T cells specifically. And here it comes. Everybody loves it. Metabolism is the big marker for exhaustion right now. Metabolism is the key. It's why we taught it, which is why we taught it to you in intro bio. One other that I'm going to be very excited about is that you guys have heard before of autoantibodies, an antibody that binds something of you, self, right? We're going to do one on those, same group, Ken Young's, that autoantibodies and the higher levels of those, much better for the patient. Because the tumor, that's self, or as close as it can be. So, those are some of my exciting developments. That was probably the number one thing I wanted to share. Again, we're getting better at this every year. It was amazing to go to this meeting this year and see, wow, like, we've got a ton of this figured out, based even further than last year. And each little step and each little piece is so important. And man, these big labs and these big clinics, we're definitely looking at a personalized medicine future that goes even beyond the tumor and beyond the genes. And like I said, even as a genetics person, it makes me a little sad, but at the end of the day, it's super exciting to see that next stage happen. So until next time, and thanks as always for listening. I am hoping to get this rolling a little better, like I said, but I said that last year too, so we'll see. Thanks again.